This spring, we took our 18-year-old son to visit the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument in southern Utah. I'd actually never seen anything like it. Had you?
You know, I visited some of Utah's national parks when I was a kid, Zion and Arches. But the thing that really surprised me was the scale of this place.
I mean, it was huge.
It was huge, actually bigger than Zion and Bryce and the Grand Canyon combined. And also, there weren't many people there. I mean, unlike those national parks, which are kind of crawling with people, I mean, this place was really desolate.
There's one day when we went out with a guide, this guy named Nate Wagoner, who's the co-owner of a local outfitters that he'd founded, Escalante Outfitters. And remember, we would stand on these plateaus and look out, and I would just think, that's a lot of rock. Yeah, and then Nate showed us how to look at it.
Well, I mean, he kind of reads the landscape as he walks along it. And I got this incredible sense of deep time. I mean, he talked about, you know, all the dinosaurs that had lived around here. And you can go back even further than that to when the North American continent looked totally different.
So here's us standing by the side of Highway 12 at the entrance to Hole in the Rock Road. And you have to picture Nate gesturing across this, you know, horizon to horizon, this huge expanse.
About 92 million years ago, there was a gigantic inland sea that divided the continent in half. All of the middle of the country was completely submerged in a shallow inland sea. And we were two continents, is kind of how paleontologists look at it. We would be on Laramidia on this side, and we'd be on the shoreline of Laramidia. And it was like a gigantic island that had mountains on it and rivers flowing down into this inward seaway.
It's kind of crazy considering this is one of the driest places I've ever seen.
Absolutely. Well, you know, 92 million years gives you a lot of room to play, right? Trust me, it's been a lot of different things over geologic time. And wrapping our minds around geologic time is one of those concepts that, you know, people struggle with, even great geologists. And if you're not struggling with it, you're not thinking about it hard enough. It's huge. But we're on the Colorado Plateau, so it's all in order as we go down time, as we go deeper, as we just drive down Highway 12, we will be driving back 100 million years and by the time we get down to the Escalante River in about 15 minutes. So it's all stacked right there, and it's just there to look at and see and marvel at. The Kaparowitz was...
We're looking at a vast stretch of desert with shrubs and rocks and, in the distance, some of the most remote mountains in the lower 48 states. But the point is, it didn't always look this way.
It is the sea floor's deposit. As you look at it, it's the fossilized remnants of a sea. And it is chock full of wonderful dinosaur discoveries because we are on the shoreline. And these guys are all grazing and hanging out, and we're finding, you know, Triceratops creatures in this section, gigantic crocodiles the size of school buses. And then in the sea, we find sea turtles, we find pliosaurs, paddled reptiles, mosasaurs, which are like the orca of the ancient sea. Fantastic stuff, full of dinosaurs that we're just beginning to find. The largest skull found on planet Earth came from the Kaparowitz Plateau.
Really? What's the skull?
It was a giant Triceratops kind of creature, Triceratops.
Just a few miles down Highway 12, we pull off to the side of the road, and Nate points out a rather ordinary-looking slab of sandstone. And there they are, dinosaur footprints.
Oh, my gosh.
Three-toed critter walked over 190 million years ago.
And the footprints, I have to say, are not very big.
What kind of creature do
we know?
Well,
this is probably representative of most of the dinosaurs that were on the planet Earth. They weren't T-Rexes running around all over the place, but most of them are about the size of a chicken. That irony never escapes me whenever I look at my chickens running around in my backyard either.
I mean, there's sort of a bird-like quality, right?
Yeah, and absolutely, yeah. And what happened was is this guy was cruising around in probably kind of a little bit of a wetter area in this sand field, and his footprints went into the sand. And then something fell on top of it, a little organic matter, a harder material. And then we happened to be here at the exact right time where it eroded just this small layer of sandstone away. I mean, these won't be here much longer.
That is amazing.
Yeah, that is totally cool.
We're going to keep driving down the road, right?
Yeah. I've looked all over here and I can't find any more.
So just to go back to your own story a little bit, what made you want to come to here, to this landscape? What is it about this landscape that attracts you so much?
Oh, the desert when I was young just definitely put its teeth in me and just kind of wouldn't let go. And I think it was that idea of wilderness, where wilderness doesn't have to be comfortable, and in its beauty in itself is in its harshness. When you go out there, you can get lost in this country, and it doesn't care about you. Its grandeur just kind of can't but take root and take a hold of you.
And why Escalante? Why this particular
Why
place?
Escalante? I mean, well, Escalante is a, you know, it's kind of like a little outlaw community, and in so many ways, it is even more untouched than all those other spots, you know? When we were young, we spent a lot of time in Moab and those places, and they became civilized. And Escalante was that last bastion of wildness that's out here. And so I think that was the idea. I mean, I came out here because there was nobody else out here. And then I came out here, and then I became a fishing guide. And there definitely wasn't a fishing guide out here, you know? And I had always worked for other people. And this was my time to kind of start my own deal. And I think that also has a lot to do with the West, you know? Like going out and becoming yourself, your own person. And I always thought I would continue a little bit further north, but nah, I never got any further north than this.
Nate's very aware that lots of people have come and gone on this land for centuries. So he keeps exploring around here, and every so often he stumbles on remnants of a lost civilization. Some years back, he discovered a series of caves filled with ancient petroglyphs. So he took us to see some of them, down an old river wash, past the few desert shrubs that have managed to eke out a living here.
What's this little spiky thing? Looks like
it's called black rush. It's in the rose family as well.
We hike down to the top of a canyon and three caves filled with rock art that's way older than even the nearby pictographs of the Anasazi.
The petroglyphs that are in these caves are left by hunter and gatherer people. And they were pretty much doing what people did the majority of the existence in North America. They followed big herds, and they never ever even thought about planting something in the ground.
So what time period are we talking about here?
So probably maybe 200-300 BC. So we're in a tight bottleneck of a short canyon, and then right below us off this point here is about a 300-foot drop to the canyon floor. So
and as radio producers, there's something else we are thrilled to discover.
Now, the Archaics were very particular about acoustics, so you have a cathedral effect. So if I go, woo, I get it over there too. And so they were very, very interesting people. We don't know anything about them. They have very little remains. Primarily what we find are pictographs that are left behind.
Wow, I can see that from here.
Yeah, we're going to go look at this. You can see as you kind of let your eyes adjust, you begin to see different color pigments. Like, see these lines here? There's also the mouse man over here. he's mouse man. And yeah, I don't know, he looks like a rat figure with bird feet. Kind of a really, kind of very different. And he shows up twice on the wall here.
And we don't really have a clue why they did this, right?
No, not at all.
Do we know if they lived in this space, or was this more of a ritualistic space?
I think people primarily think that they did not live in these spaces. These were places that kind of were come to at certain times and used and then left. I mean, these people stayed on the move. They had to follow animals because they're, you know, they moved with the seasons.
Do you sometimes try to put yourself in the minds of those people or sort of imagine what it would have been like to be alive then?
Yeah. All the time. I think that would be a pretty interesting thing. I also like to think that it wouldn't be a whole lot different. When these people were standing in this rock wall, this place looked just like it does right now, you know? But I do like to kind of think about that. The things that I always think make a better mind, you know, traveling long distances, interactions with other peoples. That's what these archaics were doing. They were moving, they were hunting, they were coming across other people. I mean, that is an amazing thing. To think about what kind of mind that creates in a person. And when you're traveling through a place like this, the internal landscape is definitely affected by the external landscape here.
We weren't in this barren desert landscape for very long, but long enough to see why people keep coming back, or like Nate, simply never leave.
Being in a place like this, you start out in small dosages and you're like, yeah, I want to be out there. I want to go for a hike today. And then you get this like immunity to it. And you're like, no, I got to stay out for 3 days. No, I got to stay out for 4 days. No, I'm going to go out for 2 weeks. I'm going to go out for 3 weeks. I'm going to do 3 months, you know, and it takes sometimes a little bit longer. You have to stay out a little bit longer to get that feeling back. Sometimes that scares me. And sometimes it's fascinating to me, but
you know, it really drives you to want to be out there full time.
Nate Wagoner, on top of a canyon in the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument in southern Utah. Nate is a nature guide, and he's the co-owner of Escalante Outfitters. And by the way, while Steve was recording that audio, I was taking pictures of the pictographs and dinosaur tracks. We'll post them on our Facebook page if you want to take a look.